Hello, everyone, and welcome to the newest edition of the Junk Baller Podcast. As always, my name is Michael Greenwood, and I'm here with my good friend, Kevin Arbine. Kevin, how you doing?
I am doing good, sir.
There you go. Let's go. Yeah. This is the second one we've done in the month of May. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to push them out a little bit more, or try to get more in, I should say, because...
Oh, we've been pushing them out a bit.
All right, moving on. Good start, everyone. No, we've been trying to get more podcasts going because Kevin and I are living together. But it's been a busy couple months for us with the weather getting warmer. But my month of June is pretty much completely free other than going up to Fenway. I'm going to the Fenway with my brother. And then we have game night that we're having here. But other than that, I have nothing.
Wow.
I have nothing. I know it's completely throwing me off my groove. Really throwing me off my groove. Like the Emperor's New Groove. I'm being thrown off my groove.
So. Now, do you prefer to be super busy or have absolutely nothing to do?
Super busy. I'd rather be super busy than nothing to do.
I'm the same way.
But I don't want to be super busy where like, oh, wow, I can't do anything. Like tomorrow and like Sunday, I have a lot going on, but at the same time, I don't because I have to go grocery shopping. I have to clean the apartment. I have to do some wash. And then I have to go get a gift for my brother. And then Sunday, I have church, ultimate birthday party, church event, and then come home. So I got to, and then I got to fit all that stuff in tonight. I'm going to pick up the jersey tonight. I'm picking up an Ichiro jersey, people. Going into Philly to pick up a jersey from some guy on Facebook Marketplace. So hopefully you'll hear me again. Hopefully he doesn't murder me. You know, I've heard some bad things about Facebook Marketplace, but I haven't had any bad run-ins. But big news in MLB. Angel Hernandez was fired.
Was he fired or did he resign?
Oh, yeah, he retired, yeah. In reality, I just kind of were like, oh, you're fired, you know? Yeah, he's gone. He's gone. The Wicked Witch is gone, people. Angel Hernandez is gone.
One of my men on the Wall of Shame.
Wall of Shame, that is right. He was on the Wall of Shame.
He was on the Wall of Shame, and he's not there anymore. I mean, it was way past time. Especially with the beginning of the year, he already got into some difficulty. But I think I want to circle back to the fact that he is not the worst umpire.
No, statistically, he is not the worst. He just became the face of being the worst umpire because of his attitude and the interactions he's had with bad calls.
Yeah.
Like, there are some bad umpires out there. I think Buckner is pretty bad.
CB Buckner, Laz Diaz
yeah.
is another one.
Jim Wolf's pretty good. I like Jim Wolf. Trip Gibson, that is known to be pretty good. But yeah, I mean, it's not. Joe West has been gone for a little bit, so thank God Cowboy Joe West has been gone. But Angel Hernandez, no longer. You can't blame him anymore. His memory will live on in infamy.
So who's the next one who's going to live in infamy?
Probably CB. I think CB's up there. I mean, there are some guys that's a lot of new umpires, too. Like, there's not a lot of... Like, you also have to make a name for yourself, too. Like, if people don't know your name as an umpire, that's pretty good.
Yes,
it is. But if people know your name, it's bad.
Yeah.
Like, I know Trip Gibson's a really good umpire because he had a couple perfect, like, almost perfect games as a balls and strike behind the plate. But I know Jim Wolf because he's like the most jacked umpire, and every time they show him, they're like, oh, there's Jim Wolf. He got his workout in or something like that. I'm like, all right, guys, like, come on. We get it.
It's like, what's his name from the NFL? Hockeyley.
Ed Hockeyley. He was so great. And his son's actually like kind of taken, after him too. He's like trying to like work out more apparently. So, but yeah, people, Angel Hernandez, that's kind of the biggest news that has happened since our last podcast.
Yeah.
Obviously the Phillies and Yankees, have the best record in the major leagues right now. What'd you just do?
You
just turned off.
Headset.
I can't hear myself.
Just in my headset. It was loud.
Yeah, but you adjusted mine. I couldn't hear anything.
That's because you switched the headset.
I did, yeah, because we were having some technical difficulties, people. All we really needed to do was turn it off and turn it back on, and it worked, or one of the plugs was unplugged. So we're off to a good start here. But anyway, the Phillies and Yankees have the best record in MLB right now.
They do.
NL AL. Now, right now, as we speak, we're doing this on a Friday night. Which team is going to win the first to 40? Is it going to be the Phillies or the Yankees tonight? Or could it be both?
Do the Phillies have 39 wins?
Yes.
The Yankees do too.
Yeah.
They're playing the Giants.
And we're playing the Cardinals. Mm. Cardinals have been hot. Giants have been pretty good too. They took two out of three from us. Of course, we suck out in San Francisco.
Yeah. I'll say us.
Yeah, no, I'll say the Yankees. Yeah. Also, we're wearing our City Connect jerseys. I don't like them. Yeah, no. Are you home?
No.
Oh, you're out
on the West Coast.
You're on the West Coast?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm going to give it to the Giants. I'm going to say actually the Giants are going to win. Yeah. The Giants have been playing better. Who's pitching? Is it Webb? Anyway, people, it doesn't matter. The Yankees and Phillies, they're doing really well. Phillies had a little bit of a rough patch this week going out the West Coast. They don't really play well out on the West Coast for some reason. It doesn't make sense. But yeah, things are going well for both our teams. It's been great. Mm-hmm. I don't have a ton of complaints for the Phillies right now.
Yeah.
Other than I want Trey Turner back, but also Mundo Sosa has been doing fantastic as a defensive player. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't have anything to say.
Aaron Judge has been crazy hot this month after being frozen cold in April.
Yeah.
It was just, you know, over the last couple of weeks, he's been really, really good. It was nice to see because he was getting boos.
Yeah.
He was slumping that badly. The one downside right now is that they did lose Clark Schmidt. He is out 4 to 6 weeks. He won't throw for at least that time.
Okay, I have a complaint.
He's got a lat strain going on.
Yeah. Yeah, that's unfortunate. But I think you guys will be all right for a little bit. I have a complaint. Tywin Walker. Why did we let him back in the freaking rotation? I swear. I just can't do it. I can't do it with him. Can't do it. Should have left Turnbull in. And I think I said that on the last podcast. Like, they're going to put him back in because of the money. But yeah. I think he's getting barreled at, like, the highest percentage of any pitcher since he's come back.
Really?
And I'm like, great. He hasn't given up any home runs, which is surprising. Or, like, he's only given up one. But, no, Aaron Judge set the record for most barrels in a month with 30, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that was 30. Since they started calculating barrels, he set the record with 30 this past month. So good for him. It's good to have Aaron Judge back. Also, Acuna got hurt. That was big news. Yeah, he tore his other ACL.
Yeah, how did we forget that?
Yeah, we didn't have that in our... Because the Braves have kind of been... They haven't really been great this year. They've been good. But Acuna hasn't been great. Acuna's had a really bad year. His strikeout rate went back to what it was, like 25%. And he was an MVP last year, and now he's just struggling. So, unfortunately, he tore his ACL. In good news for the Braves, last time that Acuna got hurt, they won the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't like that. But I also don't like the fact that he got hurt, because I like watching the best players play, and it's good for baseball. But indeed. Unfortunate that he got hurt. They signed... Ramon Laureano, not Laureano. Is it Laureano? The guy who, Laureano, that has like a cannon of an arm and has like the best throw in Major League history. They signed into a minor league deal, but we'll see what happens. But that's kind of all like the catching up on the intention, like the like introduction part, the general talk. This couple City Connects were released, the Lou for St. Louis. I like the red, but they're pretty. The fact that it says the Lou,
it looks the same as
the others. There's nothing too crazy about it. Yeah. I actually like Toronto's. Although they just released them, I kind of like them. They're black. I think I would actually prefer like a navy blue almost. Like in some shades, they prefer navy blue, but the black actually looks kind of nice with all of it. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Did they release also? Well, there was another
Toronto's.
One. Yeah, in Cleveland. Toronto, I think Cleveland released theirs.
I didn't see Cleveland's.
Cleveland's is good. I like Cleveland's. But the St. Louis hat, I think it just says STL on it. I'm like, this is terrible. There was a City Connects this year have been eh. Yeah. A couple good ones, couple eh. Yeah. But again, here we are, people. Did we also make note of the fact that MLB has made it aware that they're going to go back to the old style number template and everything.
Well, but we heard news that they're going to reevaluate everything and, like, you know, fix some of the issues.
Yeah. Well, they're going to, I heard that they're going to go back to the old name template or the number and name template, and then also possibly go back to the other material for right now. So that's good news, people. That's good. So it's only, they're going to try, they said they're going to try to fix it as soon as possible. They said we could see some adjustments by the end of the year. But, you know, if whoever wins the World Series, it's going to be the World Series of, oh, yeah, you remember the Fanatics jerseys? So we'll see what happens, people.
Get ready to see some of those gray jerseys in the middle of July.
Yeah, that's just, it's bad. It's bad, yeah. People. It's real bad. but, yeah. So we have something new for you guys that we're going to do. For normally we do like a fun fact or something, but we're going to do, something that we thought of, I think last night or the other day, we're going to quiz each other on, I'm going to quiz Kev on some Yankees trivia and Kev's going to quiz me on some Phillies trivia. And so we're going to see who can get more, you know, if it's a tie, I mean, there's no winner or loser, but there really is in reality. Cause, one of us is probably going to win. But I'm going to go first. I'm going to quiz Kev on some Yankees history. And Kev doesn't know the topic or anything. Like, this is completely off the top of his head for this. So, Kev, are you ready?
I think so.
So, I'm going to ask you to name the top five Yankees career batting average. So, who are the top five career batting average leaders for the New York Yankees?
Hold on, give me one.
No, don't you dare. Yeah, so we have the computers in front of us. Yeah, tilt it down just a tad.
Am I doing it in order, or am I just listing?
No, you don't have
to.
Just list top five.
Okay. I think Jeter's up there.
Jeter is eighth. So, no, Jeter's not okay. Top five.
DiMaggio.
Yes, he is number. He is tied for third, so he's fourth. Yes.
Okay. Gehrig?
Yes, he is second.
Mantle?
No, he's not on the list. He's not even in the top 10.
Ruth
is number one. So you got, you need number three and number five.
Okay.
Do you want a hint?
No, I want to see if I can figure it out. Yogi Berra?
No.
Don Mattingly.
Mattingly is 10th.
That's actually pretty high.
Yeah, no.
I think I listed the top five guys.
I can give you a hint. I can give you a hint on number five. For number three, I don't know if I can give you a hint.
Ruth, Gehrig, DiMaggio, Mantle. Rizzuto?
No.
No, Reggie Jackson never hit that.
No.
Wow.
Yeah. All right. I'll give you a hint. I'll give you a hint for number five. He is considered one of the better hitters of all time. I would say he has a career .328 batting average.
Is he like from the 1930s?
No. All right, his last year was 99 with the Tampa Bay Devil Rays.
Oh, Wade Boggs.
Wade Boggs. There you go. That was number five. Okay,
I was thinking career Yankees.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, no, this is career batting average.
So they could have been on the team for a year.
Yeah, I think it's a minimum. I think it's probably a minimum batting average.
Okay, that changes things.
Yeah, this guy was in the 20s and 30s for number two. Number three. I don't know if you'll get him.
Bill Dickey?
No.
He
was never an all-star.
Is he a Hall of Famer?
Yes. He's an outfielder.
Did he play on the 27 team?
Yes.
I feel like
he actually led the team in hits on that 27 team.
I feel like I know this guy. Like, I know this guy's name.
Yeah.
But
all right, you want me to? You want another hint?
Is it like, does it start with an R?
No,
an L?
No,
I don't know.
Okay, he's a center fielder for that team.
I can't remember the name.
Okay, you want me to? I'm trying to think of any other hints that I can give you. He's a 3-time World Series champ, Hall of Fame. His first name begins with an E.
Ernie someone?
No.
Enos Slaughter?
No.
Edward.
No. All right.
Ernest.
No. All right. I'll just give it to you. So, Earl Combs.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have guessed
No, I wouldn't have guessed it either. I probably would have gotten Ruth Gehrig and DiMaggio, but Boggs and the two you had trouble with, I wouldn't have gotten either. Like, that was.
Yeah.
So, Ruth finished with a .349 career batting average for the Yankees.
Very solid.
Gehrig, .340. Earl Combs, .325. Joe DiMaggio, .325, and then Wade Boggs, .313. And round out the top 10, .313 for Bill Dickey, Bob Mujal for number 311, Derek Jeter, .310, Robinson Cano, .309, Don Mattingly, .307. Of course, we don't know if Cano was juicing or not, too. So yeah, not bad. 3 out of 5.
Yeah.
Pretty good. With 3 out of 5 without the hints. And then with the you got... Boggs with 1 or 2 hints, and then I had to give you Earl Combs.
But yeah.
Not bad. I'll give you 3 out of 5. That's pretty good. Yeah. Pretty good.
I mean, like, also early on, I was narrowing the scope. I was thinking career Yankees who had played only their the entire Yankees.
Yeah.
careers.
Yeah, no. This was just career stats with the Yankees. So, yeah. All right. 3 out of 5. Not bad. Not bad.
All right. Well, mine's a bit narrower. Okay. You know, in the glorious history of the Philadelphia
Phillies.
Oh, yes, Phillies.
The most, the losingest franchise in MLB history.
10,000 losses, but they also have 10,000 wins.
Yeah, that's right. Beat that, people.
with a .474 win-loss percentage. No doubt a lot of that's been made up over the last 15 years.
Yes, yes.
So, in 2024 so far, they have a .684 winning percentage. By far their highest, like, ever.
Yeah.
So... they've had 3 teams that have won over 100 games in their whole history.
Yeah.
What are they?
Okay, 2011. Mm-hmm. They didn't win 100 in 2009 or 2010. They were close. Did 93 win 100 games? I don't think 93 won 100 games. 1983.
No.
No. Because I know in the 80s they had one. Whew, okay. All right.
Do you need hints?
No, no, no. Give me a sec. Because I know the only one in 2000s was 2011.
Yep, you got that one.
Okay. The 90s, I don't think in 93 they got 100. I think they were close, but I don't think they got the 100. Is one of them like dating back to... early 1900s?
No, no. Okay. These are all recent.
Okay.
Well, recent in terms of the last...
50 years.
50 years.
Yeah, I think the 80... Like, 19... oh, wait, the 70... 78?
You're close.
79.
No.
Oh, 77?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, so... All right, so 1977, 2011... did the 80 team win 100? I don't think they did. I already guessed 83, and that's not right.
Mm-hmm.
Is it 81?
No. That was a strike year. They didn't play that many games.
Okay. All right. So I got 2 out of 3 so far. I don't think. All right. I'm trying to remember because the early 70s, they struggled with Carlton because Carlton had 1972 when he won like 29 games, and that was like a third of their wins.
He was pretty good.
All right, so it was 77, 2011. All right. I want to say they got another one in the 80s, but I'm not 100% sure. I already guessed 83. Do you have any how many wins they won in 83 there?
Yes. In 1983, they won 90 games.
Okay, yeah. I'm going to say, did I guess 81?
Yes, you did.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. It wasn't 86 or 87. Was it 87?
No.
No.
They kind of fell off after 83.
Yeah, after Schmidt, and they started falling. Yeah. 70. All right, so I'm gonna say so 77. 76.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah, I'll just guess that. Yeah.
2011, 1976, and 1977.
Yeah.
In 2011, they won 102 games. That's their most. And then in 76 and 77, back-to-back years, they won 101 games.
Jeez.
But they got beat by the Dodgers in the NLCS both years.
Yeah. And in 2011?
Or no, sorry. In 76, they lost to the Reds, and 77 was the Dodgers.
Yeah. 2011... It was a curse to win the franchise most record, to have the most franchise wins, because they let the Cardinals in the playoffs instead of facing the Braves, because the Cardinals were hot.
Yeah.
And all we had to do was, if we had lost that last game to not have the franchise record, the Cardinals wouldn't have been in. And the Cardinals ended up winning the World Series, and they crushed, like, they basically halted us in the last game. That was Doc's last good year. Howard tore his Achilles. And then we were just never the same after that. So it's the worst.
Oh, and as a aside, 1980, they won 91 games. And in 2008, they won 92 games.
Yeah. Yeah. 90, because in 2009, I think they won 90 something as well.
They won 93 games.
Yeah. And then 2010, I want to say they won 97.
Yep, 97 games. Yeah. They also won 97 games in 1993.
Yeah. Yeah, the 93 team was kind of like a one-hit wonder type thing. But, yeah. All right, that was actually fun. That was a little more challenging than I thought because I was like, oh, sweet, 100 wins. I was like, I think there was only a couple good teams in Philly's history. So, but, yeah. Yeah, that was fun. We also have something... a little special for you today, a little topic that we think would be kind of interesting, but not like, it's not like our hot takes people, but it's something that gives us a lot of power. Something that Rob Manfred is in charge of. What is he? What does he do? What does he do for MLB?
I think he mops the floors or something.
That is true. So he only has, I think, five years left as commissioner. So Kevin and I, we're going to give you our takes on what we would do if we were commissioner of Major League Baseball. Now, you guys have something to say?
Well, this assumes that we have unlimited power.
Yes, unlimited power. No players union, no everything. We just were like, you know what? Complete dictatorship. We're going to run the league. Yes. All right? This is exactly what we want and how we would run the league.
It's our benevolent dictatorship. Yeah.
Now, I have five. We're not going to go through some of the stuff that we had talked about earlier about, like, you know, steroids, retractable roofs with stuff that we believe. This is more of like, you know, our stuff we're really passionate about that we haven't talked about yet, but we think that would be beneficial to the game. Do you want to go first? Or you want me to go first?
You go first.
All right, I'll go first. So I have five things that I would do as commissioner. And I would say that three of them, I have six. But I think, so the first two, they kind of go hand in hand with each other, so they're kind of like grouped together, along with the third and fourth one. They're kind of like grouped together. But you know how baseball has kind of lost a little bit of its average? I mean, I did the Yankees batting average. You don't see guys hitting 350, 340 anymore. You know, you barely get...
How many guys do you see hitting 300?
No, the league average is at 240, and that's at the lowest it's been since in a long time. It's like dropped 30 or 40 points since the last 20 years. So my solution to fix that, which has happened before, MLB has done this before, juice the balls, all right? Baseball is more fun when the ball is going farther, okay? You imagine, Aaron, like, every so often there's rumors that the MLB has juiced certain balls for certain games. Like, the London series coming up for the Phillies-Mets, I'm sure there's going to be a lot more home runs hit, and also the Yankees-White Sox game where it felt like every at-bat was a home run. Like, Tim Anderson hitting an opposite field home run, that doesn't happen. No, it doesn't happen. But juice balls would make the game better because it brings more offense. Now, before you respond, I want to go through my second one, which is kind of a pairing to this. To help the pitchers in this, I want to bring back spider tech and allow them to use certain substances so that way they can grip the ball. Reason why, player safety, and it gives the pitchers an able advantage to the juice balls. So if they're able to control the pitches better, they're able to, I don't want players getting hit. Like, these guys are throwing 100 miles an hour and they can't even find the plate. I want them to be able to find the plate better so they can grip the ball better, but there's an equal advantage for the hitter if he hits the ball because they're throwing harder, so the ball is going to go farther. What do you think?
What is your standard for what is allowable in terms of the substances that players can use?
I would say they're allowed to use, let's just have them use one specific substance. Like, they can use the rosin on the back, but if they want to use spider tack, they can. I would probably say that they're only allowed to use one specific substance. Like, MLB like sponsors it or something like that. Like, spider tack is the one that was became popular. So all of a sudden, MLB is sponsored by spider tack. So that way, spider tack is able to be used by pitchers.
So can there be a similar rule on the flip side for batters with pine tar, since it's like trying to grip the baseball?
Yeah, I feel like pine tar is like, there's not really a ton of like rule. I feel like batters use pine tar enough. But pitchers can't really use a substance at all. Like, they're just like, oh, the rosin, that's it. But for batters, oh yeah, you got pine tar. Like, I feel like pine tar is
still a limit.
Yeah, there still is a limit. Like, I don't think that there should be a drastic thing. Like, I think there it should be regulated, but I don't know how much. I don't know the science behind how much tack is needed for spider tack. Just like in a pine tar, you can't go past a certain level on the bat.
Right.
But you don't really see a ton of guys use the pine tar drastically anymore. Like, they had the batting gloves are pretty good, and you got the guys got the bats with like the grip and everything on them. So that's a good counterpoint, but I would regulate it to this, like, okay, you can use spider tack to this amount. But I think it'd be better to have that in the game.
And as for the juice baseballs,
yeah,
this is something that would be universally applied everywhere.
Yeah, every stadium.
Every stadium.
Yeah, including Coors.
Okay.
Yeah, including Coors. But the thing is, if Coors Field actually has spider tack, all these pitchers can use spider tack, you know, maybe the Coors pitchers actually locate the ball better, you know? I think it's a good thing. It's a good thing for baseball.
Well, I guess that goes back to my original question. Where does how far can we push that line? You say like one substance per position player, like a pitcher or a batter?
Pitcher. So spider tack for the pitchers.
So like the batter would be allowed to use like one substance too. So it's like they get to use one, pitcher gets to use one.
Pine tar. Oh no, it's just pitchers are able to use spider tack. Okay. That's basically what my rule would be that I would do as commissioner.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I draw. It's nothing for position players or anything. This is for pitchers to use spider tack to grip the ball better. Yeah, that's what I would do. Yeah, okay. Position players, no. Yeah, so juice balls and bring back spider tack so that way pitchers can do that. Yeah. Now, this one you might not like because I think you actually like the more old school one of it. You know the All-Star game? You know every player or every team has to have a representative?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want that anymore.
I wanted that.
I thought you were more old school with like, oh, you like having, you know, each team represented with it. Like, I think it's cool to have each team represented, but then there are so many players that are more deserving than Michael Lorenzen of last year who had a 4 ERA for Detroit. Like, I think the best players should be represented in the All-Star game.
Yeah.
So we're getting rid of the rule of every team is represented. Okay. This would incentivize team to actually be better. In it too, I feel like you're like, oh, you know what? Like, we don't have any representatives. So bring the best players in to the All-Star game. That's what I would do. Now, to also go along with the All-Star game, I think.
Are you going through all of them right now?
No, this is this is my third and fourth one. Yeah. Should we go back and forth?
I thought that's what we were doing.
Oh, yeah, no, okay.
No, keep going.
Yeah, no,
keep
okay. Yeah, we didn't discuss that. I figured you go first. That's fine. So to go along with the All-Star game, with not having every team represented, it's just the best players. I think the players should vote for the All-Stars. I don't think the fans should be voting in for the All-Stars because we get starting lineups with teams that have four or five guys that are like the Braves last year. Like, I don't think that every player for the Braves deserved to be, you know, starting position for the team. Like, I think Lindor had better averages than Arcia for the Braves. I'm like, why is freaking Arcia starting for the shortstop for the Braves? He's not the best player in the league for a shortstop for the NL. This shouldn't happen. So, so I think that the players should vote instead of the fans. Now, I understand that this, like, fans like voting for the best player, but most of the time, fans are dumb and they get it wrong. So I want the players to vote for the players that would be represented in the All-Star game. Yeah.
Would you perhaps allow for a more weighted voting system where it's like, well, this is an election year. So, like, you have, like, a system like we have in the U.S. where maybe it's, like, the votes are more representative of a region that you're in, or it's, like, maybe the players' votes carry more weight, but the fans still have some degree of participation in the decision. So it's not a total popularity contest. Bless you. I don't know how exactly that would work.
That would be tough. That would be tough. I hadn't thought about that, honestly. I just think that the players normally get it right with who they think is the best players. You know, when they vote for, you know, who are the best players in MLB, like, normally it's the players that vote for it. Now, I know some players kind of just don't take it seriously, but I feel like most would do that. And also, like, sometimes the only thing that I thought about that might be an interference with this is that some players have it in their contract if they make an All-Star game, like, they get more money. So I'd be like, all right, maybe the guy will vote for his buddy to get more money. That was the only time that I thought this might not work. But that's what I would do for the All-Star game. I also thought about this as I'm doing this. Bring back the old school, the uniforms. Just don't ever do the freaking like special edition uniforms again. Just bring back the teams to wear their home and away jerseys. That's the best stuff. That's always the coolest thing. Okay, so I have two more. So I'll go through them. I'll go through them quick, and then we can discuss them. Ghost runner, obviously, after the ninth inning, ghost runner on second base to start the inning. Mm-hmm. I'm moving that back to the 12th inning. That's what I'm doing. I think the ghost runner is okay. It's not my favorite rule. It's grown on me a tad just because it does end the game quicker, but I think it should end after the 12th inning. Let the guys try to do it, or give them two innings to try to get a run in, then the 10th and 11th. If they don't do it, then the 12th. How often do you see a game in the 12th inning now? Not very often. So I think that, you know, give them two shots in the 10th and 11th, then put the ghost runner out there. And then, you know, see how it happens. But I know that would also be, I think I would also allow another player, if that happened, I would allow another pitcher to be on the roster with it, just so that way you can, you know, for player safety. But yeah, what do you think about that one?
I'm in favor. I think the 10th is too quick.
Yeah.
Make it last a little bit longer.
Yeah.
I don't think that the 10th inning has to be where everything starts. It's like, oh, we got to end the game now.
Yeah.
Give it a little more breathing room, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I completely,
like,
agree.
Make them work a little bit more for the win.
Yeah.
And then after a certain point, it's like, okay, when we get later in the game, 12th, 13th, 14th inning.
Yeah. No, I agree. I 100% agree. Okay. And my last one, this one has to do with the pitch clock. I might have mentioned it before, but I'm not sure. But I just think there should be a universal time for it. Not like with that. There shouldn't be a different amount of time for pitchers on or batters on, runners. That's the word. Runners on versus runners off. Just make it 20 seconds universal. Okay. So that way there's not a different time. So that way everyone's like, all right, I have 20 seconds total. It's going to add like 5 minutes to the game. So some games are going by too quick. Some games are going by, like, in how many games have been under 2 hours this year? There's been at least a couple. And it's not good. Like, so these innings go by so quick. I'm like, wow, I just missed two innings because I was doing an errand or something like that. Like, this is dumb. So I just think it should be 20 seconds universal. Gives the pitchers a little bit more breathing, just a little more relaxation. Same thing with the batters. They're not like, oh, I got to get in the box and pay attention right away. So that's what I think that should happen. What are your thoughts on all of them?
Yeah. Can I see your list?
Yes.
I think I made a question on some of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the pitch clock should be universal too. Yeah. I don't think there's any reason why you should have a difference between them unless, yeah, it should just be the same.
Yeah.
Just lengthen it a little more.
Yeah.
Like each one doesn't have to be like 15 seconds with runners on and 15 seconds with runners off. I think 20 seconds is perfectly reasonable.
Yeah.
I've come to accept the pitch clock at this point. I've mentioned that before.
I've accepted it, not liked it.
Yeah. I think I saw there was a game.
It was an hour and 57 minutes, I think.
Yeah. It was an hour 49 minutes.
That's ridiculous. That's too quick, people. That's too quick.
I feel like I'm getting cheated.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah, if I went to a game, unless if it was like history was being made, like I am feel like, oh my gosh, I just got here. Like, can you imagine if you arrived late to that game? Like, you're like, you arrived late, like 20 minutes late. You're there for a little over an hour.
Yeah.
That's absurd.
Well, it was a Guardians Red Sox game. So I don't think any particular history was made other than Tanner Houck. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah.
He pitched a shutout, which I guess
that's cool.
Which is pretty rare now. Like,
yeah.
Pitchers
was it home or away?
It was at home.
Okay, that's cool. So that I would, so I count that. That's okay with me. I saw a shutout. That was cool. But still, hour and 49, 5 and 47, 5 and 49.
An hour 49.
Whew.
That's too
quick.
Fast.
That's quick.
Too fast.
That's quick.
There's also players voting All-Stars. I think I mentioned it in the question. I still like the idea of fan participation. It's fun for the fans to get involved. It's like, oh, you know, I could somehow get my my player in.
Yeah.
But I don't think it should have the ultimate say necessarily or carry as much weight as it
okay.
does.
Okay. I'm going to ask you, how many times have you voted to vote for an All-Star? Because you can vote, I think, 25 times.
What, like in a single year?
Yeah. Yeah. Like how many times have you voted for an All-Star?
If I did, I would only do it once.
Yeah. But you can vote up to 25 times.
Well, then implement a system where you can't do that.
I've only voted, I think the most I voted was 3.
Yeah.
But I'm like, all right, if they're giving us an option to vote 25 times, who are, like, we're the diehard fans who actually think that a player should deserve it more. Who are probably the idiot fans that are voting 25 times just to vote one specific player who they like instead of a position, or instead of an actual, like, player who thinks, oh, you know, this guy's having a good year. I'm going to vote him.
Well, that's why I bring in the idea of, like, fan votes being diminished in terms of their value. Okay. So it's not like you're having 20, 30 million fans vote for someone who's, you know, hitting 270, that he's super popular.
Yeah.
And he's a feel good story or something. He's like, oh, he should be in the All-Star game.
Yeah. Yeah. Like the Mets are going to have a representative. Who's on the Mets right now is going to be the representative. Lindor's having a terrible year. Yeah. Alonso's day-to-day with a hand injury.
Well, that I agree with. I agree with that.
Yeah.
I don't think every team needs to be represented.
Yeah.
Because some of the players that you have to vote in, you know, they don't deserve to be there. They just have to be there.
Yeah, like the Phillies right now have the best. Normally the best team normally has the most All-Stars in it. So the Dodgers might get more in it this year just because Ohtani and Betts are just popular. But normally it's the best team normally has the most starters, I would say, just how it normally works. Like, but right now, only Harper and maybe Bohm probably should be starting for the NL. But that's it. But like, I don't think that maybe Wheeler starts the Ranger or Wheeler starts the pitching. But the thing is, pitchers aren't voted in. It's just the starting lineup.
Yeah.
So I don't know. If all of a sudden, like, oh, yeah, Brandon Marsh is represented, I'm like, is a starter. I'm like, no, Marsh is having a good year, but he's not a starting All-Star team for this. It's pathetic. But the thing is, fans will vote to do that, and I don't think that's right. I think the players should vote, because I don't think the players would vote. Who's the best left fielder in baseball right now for the NL? I don't even know. Yeah.
Well, they need to figure out a way for both. I don't have the wisdom to know how that would work.
Yeah,
but
this is why we're commissioner. I'm just gonna institute it and see how it works, and that's why we're going to be the best commissioners in baseball.
You and your benevolent dictatorship.
Yeah, well, let's hear your benevolent dictatorship.
Okay, well, mine is a bit different. These aren't really changes to the game or the rules itself. That's more high-level stuff that I've wanted to change. The first one I want to mention is that there's a lot of talk of expansion.
Yeah, I figured you were going to go into this. That's why I didn't get into it. So, yeah.
You know, talking about, you know, adding another team in Oakland or adding a team down in New Orleans or, you know, somewhere in the South or in the Midwest. I kind of want to go outside the country for this one.
Whoa. No.
Not Canada. I've mentioned the Expos before. Not Mexico either.
What?
I want to explore Puerto Rico.
Oh, Puerto Rico.
It's the most popular sport in that territory.
Yeah, it is.
It has a long history. Very popular there. There's a bunch of baseball players that come from there. It's a culture that's built for an MLB team. It's not very far away, so it's like you just hop on a plane a few hours, and I think it's maybe like a time zone an hour or two further ahead, so it's not a huge wait. It's not like you're traveling to London to wait an extra 5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
I think logistically it makes sense. It's not, you know, the most wealthy place to go, which is probably going to be what the MLB is going to run into because it's kind of impoverished.
Yeah.
But I think really that would be a great way to boost the economy is bringing a baseball team there.
That is a good point. It would definitely boost the economy. You had me there going, you said to a different country, and I was like, okay, please say going back to the Expos. Please say Canada. But if you said London, I was like, no, get out of here. Get out of here. We're not having – no Major League or NFL, NBA team is going to be playing in London. They have to play within at least a 1 to 2 hour time zone difference. You can't have – what's the time difference? 6, 7 hours?
It's 5 hours for London.
Yeah, that's terrible.
And I guess I should qualify. It's not a different country. It's a territory of the United States.
Oh, yeah.
But that'll make it easier.
Yeah.
It'll make it easier to travel there.
I don't mind it. I could see it happening. I do like the fact that it definitely would boost the economy for Puerto Rico. I do like the fact that there is a lot of players from Puerto Rico, DR, all of that would be good to have a major league team there. I can see it. I can see it. I'm not totally against it, but I can see it.
I was considering the Expos part, but I've already mentioned that before.
Yeah.
And I'm like, there's some maybe like a Caribbean team, like the DR or not Cuba, but like one of those islands would make sense for baseball because of its popularity.
Yeah. Now, continue. I have a counterpoint.
No, you could go ahead.
So with the expansion to another team, that makes 31 teams. Would you expand to another team to make it one in each league?
Yes, I would.
Yeah, that's the only way that – because I think Manfred has said – that they have thought about adding to total of 32 teams.
I like uniformity.
Same.
So yeah. I would add a team somewhere else.
Yeah. Like
maybe the Expos.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Puerto Rico would be the American League.
The Puerto Rican Expos.
The Puerto Rican Expos. I think the Expos did play in Puerto Rico a couple of times.
I wouldn't know, but
yeah.
Hey, who knows? But
I think they've had like exhibition games in Puerto Rico.
Yeah. I want to say something, but I don't know if it might be part of your commissioner list, so continue.
All right, I'll go on to the next one. So yesterday, I played in a softball game.
Oh, yeah. Here we go, baby.
I played for my church softball league. It's been a lot of fun. In one of my bats in like the fifth or sixth inning, I hit a grounder short, and I hustled to first base. And I thought I got there by like a good step or two. I heard the ball hit the glove as I was right past first base. There was no call made. As I was walking back to base, that's when I hear out from the umpire. And I was just like, wait a minute, what? I was safe, wasn't I? And then I really had to watch the video because someone was recording it. And I think we should post the screenshot somewhere so people could see this. It was a good 5 feet, the ball away from me.
It's bad, people. It's real bad.
I don't think my words are doing it justice. When
Kev says, like, oh, you got to look at this, I'm like, okay, I'll look at it. And then he showed me, I'm like, oh, my gosh, that's not even close. Like, when you look at the video, you're like, who in the right mind thought that it's an Angel Hernandez call? That's what it was.
He was deemed reincarnated.
Yeah.
Nay, that's his side gig now.
Like, I almost think that, like, he called it so late that he was like, oh, I don't know what to do. I couldn't tell. Oh, I'm just going to call him out.
Yeah.
Like, but when you look at it from the first time, I was like, there's no way that he was out. There's absolutely.
he didn't need to take that much time to make that.
No.
Call.
All right. So what's your?
I think there needs to be higher standards for umpires, in particular in the way the union runs things.
Okay. I think everyone has your support here.
MLB, I think, unlike the other leagues, at least the ones I've researched, seems to have more of a reward system than, like, you know, actively punishing umpires, where the good umpires get, like, the postseason.
Yeah.
So, like, they'll be included in the higher stakes games, and then the ones who are doing a lesser job, they won't get that opportunity. They rarely get fined or suspended, let alone fired, for what they're doing.
Correct.
There is a union that evaluates the umpires, the MLBUA, I think it is. But I couldn't exactly determine what the criteria is used. Apparently, they evaluate umpires, I guess, just to show them how well they're doing. But there never seems to be any repercussions of their bad or terrible calls. My one guess is that the MLB is maybe afraid that they're influencing games if they fine or fire umpires, because they kind of treat them as contractors in a way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I never thought of it like that. I don't know.
Maybe they, like if they fire one umpire for, like, a bad call. But still, I think there needs to be some better accountability, because the umpires act like they're their own outside organization and they have immunity from repercussions. Like, look what happened to Aaron Boone earlier this year.
Yeah.
With the guy who was yelling from the dugout.
Oh, gosh.
And Boone got ejected.
They're so soft.
And even after he saw the video, he doubled down.
Yeah.
And defended himself.
You cannot defend yourself when you see that video. You have to realize, okay, I made a mistake. And you will be respected more if that. But because you doubled down after seeing proof that Aaron Boone said nothing, you doubled down and said, oh, you know, I was right.
I think the only time I can remember where an umpire was suspended, and there's probably others, but the one I remember was Bob Davidson.
Yeah, no, I can't even remember.
I forget if it was when he had that argument with Charlie Manuel the one time.
Oh, Charlie.
He was really screaming at Charlie. Like, you see Charlie Manuel in the dugout, like, adjusting his brimming, like, okay, here we go.
Yeah.
And he got in his face.
Oh, I miss Charlie. I love but, Charlie.
Yeah, like, I feel like there's a certain point where if there's a egregious conduct by the umpires, there needs to be some sort of action.
Yeah.
Or if they're falling below a certain accuracy threshold or making, like, a consistent, there's a consistent pattern of bad calls, that there needs to be, like, you know, neither left out of a couple of games or they're out of a rotation for a few days.
Yeah, I can see that.
But there isn't anything like that right now. So
nope.
I would definitely implement those rules if I was a commissioner.
Yeah. No, I think you have my full support on that one. I don't have any objections to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. That was a good one. I think everyone listening probably has the same thing. Okay, that's a really good one. Yeah. That's unanimous, 100%.
Indeed. The next one is... how long this season is going.
Okay.
The year just keeps getting pushed back further and further into November. Like, going, like, as far as, like, what, November 6th or 7th, maybe?
Yeah.
At some points.
Mm-hmm.
Now we just expect November baseball.
Yeah.
At this point.
Yep.
Before, a couple of years ago, the only time we had November baseball was after 9/11, but that was because, you know, baseball was suspended for a week.
Yeah.
So they had to push the calendar back.
Yeah. And then if it was like a late timing for something, they had 7 games in the World Series. That was the only time.
Yeah. I want to implement an October 31st hard deadline to end the season.
So whoever is winning, like, say if it's a 7-game series and they only have... Yeah, so it could be shortened. You're like, oh, you know, it's just going to be a 5-game
series.
Well,
I would probably just adjust the schedule a bit. Like take away some rest days that are not needed.
Okay.
Or, trim spring training somehow. I don't think, I'd like to be able to use my dictatorial powers to maybe shorten the postseason a tad.
Yeah.
But I want to be benevolent, too. That's the benevolent side of my benevolent dictatorship.
Yeah.
It's not exactly like basketball where, you know, you have 3 or 4 rest days after one game.
Yeah.
But I don't think baseball should be played any further than Halloween. I want that deadline.
I think you could probably do... So I want to keep 162 games just because tradition.
Yes.
I think you could probably... you could probably do it. Probably have to shorten like 1 or 2 rest days or... probably start the season a week earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a solution for that if you do. I actually heard this on the radio one time. You know how like a lot of these games are like getting rained out early and there's just cold weather?
Yes.
Why not like the early part of the season just like have more it played in like warmer weather spots? Like just
like
have
spring training.
Yeah, kind of not like it's the you like a lot of the teams that are like in the Northeast and like the North, like they just go and play more like away, like their first couple series are on the road.
Yes.
Like obviously that's a little bit of like a disadvantage, but you also don't want to be playing in 35, 40 degree weather in the month of April in Philadelphia or Minnesota. So the first, do you say the, you know, the first week you just have a long road trip, and then towards the end of the season you just have a long homestand. That's, I thought it was actually a pretty good idea, because then you're not getting, because we've had in Philadelphia a ton of rain for the Phillies. It seemed like every home game was just a bunch of rain and cold weather. So why not just start down, like, hey, the Phillies are going to start three-game series in Miami. Then they're going to go to Texas for, you know, and play the Astros for three games. And then three games in, I don't know, what's another warmer weather one? In Arizona. You know, obviously it might not work foolproof, but, you know, you could, you have the domes that you could work in, and then, you know, the warm, just have it be, you know, have like the A's and Angels. Not the A's and Angels. The Angels and the Dodgers have like a back to like three game series back to back. So like three games against the Dodgers in Dodger Stadium, then three games in Anaheim. You know.
You know what else would fix the cold
domes?
Weather?
Domes.
That's my side.
Or
retractable.
Yeah, retractable roofs,
which people. I've already said, and that's another point. I'll still enact as commissioner. Don't worry, but that won't be on my top five.
Yeah.
My fourth one. Is the seating in the first section of stadiums.
Okay.
Years ago, when I was growing up going to Yankee Stadium, if you had a rain delay after like a couple hours, if you stuck around and they continued afterwards, you were allowed to go wherever you wanted to.
Yeah.
I remember there was a game where I was right, I got right behind the dugout, behind the third baseline. It was awesome. You can't do that in a new stadium now.
Nope.
They had it, you're like cordoned off from the rest of the ballpark by these special seats that are behind home plate between the dugouts. I want to get rid of that ish.
Yeah. Yep.
I think it's ridiculous. I get why, for like money. And I guess there's like special restaurants and stuff maybe on the first levels, or it's like special privileges, but I don't think they should be sectioned off from the rest of the ballpark. I think people should be free to move down there and not have to face this barrier behind home plate and the dugout.
I agree. I don't have any objections to that. I agree.
Awesome. We're on the same page.
Yeah.
Save this one for last.
Yeah.
We give awards away for the best of baseball at the end of the year.
Oh, boy.
you know, MVP, comeback player of the year, Cy Young, rookie of the year, all that stuff. But we don't award the worst of baseball.
Oh, my gosh.
And there's no franchise awards, except if you win the championship. Right?
Correct.
I think there needs to be one for particularly bad teams, not just ones that are terrible on the field, but off the field.
Yeah.
That's why I'm creating a poverty franchise award. And there's going to be some special perks with this, too.
Oh, okay. I want to hear these perks.
So, the owners will be roasted by other owners on national television.
Oh, boy. Jeez.
You get a parade in your biggest rival's city.
Oh, my God. That's an awful idea. That's a terrible idea. Oh, my gosh.
Every person who makes over $1 million, their last paychecks go to charity.
Oh, jeez. True dictatorship right here, baby.
The GM is hired as a janitor for one game of the World Series.
I actually kind of like that. That's not good.
Have you seen the meme that says "your winner," like YOURE winner? You get that certificate passed to every member of the organization, like on a crumbled up piece of paper.
Oh, jeez.
And ticket and concession prices are slashed in half for the next season.
Oh my God. That's a true incentive right there.
So this is a punitive measure. This is like corporal punishment.
Oh,
I really want to give these poverty franchises a kick in the rear.
Wow.
And make them give them motivation to do better and perform and care about building a quality team.
Yeah.
So, Poverty Franchise Award. Who do you think would be most deserving of it?
Well, right now, I think the A's. So in terms of just poverty franchise, like I think of the A's with how they're running it, but they don't have the worst record. Who has the worst record right now? The White Sox?
Well, it doesn't necessarily have to be the worst record.
Okay.
It's a team that can be bad on or off the field.
Oh, then the Mets.
Yeah.
They deserve this year 100%. Everything's going wrong for them. In terms of just entertainment and how bad they've been recently and just the value that they bring just to social media and talking, the Mets, easily. Yeah. Like, the White Sox suck, and so do a lot of other teams. But the Mets, they're supposed to be good. They have a high payroll, and they are just, oh, my God, they're so bad. Oh, my God. Like, Edwin Diaz got put on the IL. He's been awful. Lindor's struggling. They had the run-in with Jesus Lagardo or something like that? I can't remember his name. But the guy who threw his glove in I can't remember his name. And then he basically called the Mets, like, the worst effing team in all of baseball.
Didn't he say teammate?
Yeah, so that was what was ran with it. But then he was like, hey, thanks to the media. They said it was wrong. What I said was interpreted wrong. He's saying that he was the worst teammate. So, in reality, he was right. He was calling out himself and not the team, but they still designated for assignment. So, interesting. Okay, all right.
Well, now that it's the Mets, you're more open to it.
Yeah. So I think it's a fantastic idea, in theory.
Well, in theory.
Yeah. In reality, that would never be able. No one would want to be an owner. Or at least an owner that's cheap would want to do that.
Well, don't be an owner, then.
Yeah, no, I agree. It definitely would incentivize teams to actually, oh, let's make sure that the thing that got me was the concessions prices being half price. That would fans would actually be like, no, suck for a year. This is gonna be great. I feel like all right.
Well, it's good and bad for a team because for one, it might bring people out. On the other, you have teams like the Marlins who add these packages where it's like all you can eat for $40 or $50 and tickets.
My brother and I have actually considered going down if we can find a cheap flight for that. Just to say that, we did that.
They're another one.
Yeah. Gosh. That's an interesting one. That one. Oh, my God. That was a fun one. I'll say that. I didn't have a fun one. Mine were all like legit type things that I would actually do. So you've gone full dictatorship and it definitely has incentives and cons to it.
If I'm given the power, I'm gonna use it.
Yeah. I think my favorite one was definitely the umpire one, because that one's they have the most impact on the game and there's no punishment whatsoever for them.
Yes.
Oh boy, that's a good list.
Same with yours.
I think yours was better. I think yours was a better list. So one thing with that that we didn't get into was relocation or expansion teams, because you're going to do Puerto Rico. Where would you put the 32nd team if you're going to do another one?
Montreal.
You're going to Canada?
Mm.
Okay. I am okay with that. I am okay with going back to Canada, having the Expos back. I think that's great. I still think Charlotte or Nashville would be another great incentive.
Those would be runners-up.
Yeah. I just feel like I want people to not be Braves fans too, because I feel like there's no in between. There's like to be like once you get past DC, there's the first team that comes south is Atlanta. That's a long way.
Yes,
that's a long way. That's my thing with Nashville, because Charlotte's a little more north. Wait, is it?
It's in North Carolina.
Yeah, compared to Nashville.
Nashville is west and south a little?
Yeah.
Maybe a little more west.
Yeah, because I remember. I can't remember.
I think they're on a similar latitude.
We passed geography, people. We passed geography in, what, fourth grade?
I mean, I don't spend my time like looking up where Charlotte and Nashville
are
with my time.
But I've driven past it multiple times. I should know this. Have I been in Charlotte? No, I haven't been in Charlotte. But I like that. Oh, you got it.
Nashville is a little bit northwest.
Okay, so it actually is more north.
Not by a lot.
Okay.
No.
Yeah. So, yeah, because I imagine a lot of Tennessee people are Braves fans because that's their closest team that they have.
Yeah, think of it like as like sort of like a right angle of a triangle. It's like Charlotte and then Nashville, and then you kind of go down toward Atlanta.
Yeah,
and then back up to Charlotte. That's kind of like that region.
Yeah. Yeah. So okay. Yeah, that makes sense. All right, that was a good list. That was good. This is what we would do if we were in power, people. Okay, complete dictatorship. No one can say no to us. Okay, mm-hmm. And all these ideas are fantastic, great ideas.
Yep,
you can't say no to it.
No,
we'd love to know what your thoughts are on these ideas. You know, who had the better list? Who would be a better commissioner, Kev or I? That actually might be the question that I might ask. Who would be a better commissioner, Kevin or Michael?
Well, I think both of us approach, like, we'd be a decent duo in terms of our dictatorships because you're more...
A duo dictatorship.
Not exactly on the level of, like, you know, world dictators, but benevolent dictators. because you're more like on the field rules, I think.
Yes.
Or like changes on the field. So like the pitch clock and the ghost runner and the juice balls. And I'm higher level, like stadiums and umpires and poverty franchises.
Yeah, no, actually, we didn't plan this, people, but we actually did a pretty good job of doing like a back and forth of, or not a back and forth, like a division type thing where he did that and I did my thing. All right. This is a good one. We don't have any hot takes because we gave you a lot of them right there with our commissioner list. So let us know what your thoughts are for, you know, who would be a better commissioner, who had the best idea, and you know, let us know what you would do if you were commissioner. You know, would you do any of the things that we would do? Would you also have fired Angel Hernandez if you would actually become commissioner, which I had originally thought of? I was like, oh, yeah, no, I definitely would have fired him. Yeah, I don't care. But yeah, people, this was a fun one. I had a lot of fun. Hopefully you did too.
I did.
And hopefully you enjoyed listening. So we'll catch you next time.
Later.